3 of the U.S. Israeli genocide against Palestinians. Two more journalists are killed, raising the death toll among the press corps to 109. Palestinian resistance fighters kill more invading Israeli soldiers and destroy some of their weapons in retaliation for the onslaught on Gaza. Palestine resistance group Abu Jenin Brigade ambushes Israeli occupation forces, killing at least one trooper and injuring several more. I'm Behrouz Najafi. Welcome. Israeli strikes on the Gaza Strip going on unabated, leaving behind more casualties day after day. The latest attacks on central Gaza claimed more than 40 lives. 11 of those who were killed were in a strike on a home and a school in the Palestinian refugee camp in Deir al-Bala. Another 20 lost their lives in raids on the Jabalia refugee camp in the north. And that brings to at least 180 total number of Palestinians killed in strikes on the coastal sliver in the past 24 hours. Over 22,800 Palestinians have been killed since Israel began its onslaught on Gaza. The Israeli military campaign against civilians in Gaza has drawn worldwide condemnation. Most countries and international organizations are calling for an immediate end to the genocide. Meanwhile, at least two more journalists have been killed in Israeli airstrikes in Gaza. Mustafa Soraya and Hamza Dahdu died when a missile directly hit their vehicle west of Khan Yunis in southern Gaza. Hamza was the son of Palestinian journalist Vael Dahdu, who has already lost his wife, daughter, other son, and grandson to Israeli air raids. Last month, Vael himself was wounded in an Israeli strike that also killed his colleague. The latest fatalities bring to 109 the number of journalists killed in Gaza since October 7th. Palestinians say that the Israeli army deliberately targets the journalists to hide the truth about the situation in Gaza and the regime's atrocities. The World Health Organization says only 13 hospitals are partially operating in Gaza as Israel continues to pound medical centers. A Canadian doctor at a European hospital described the situation as a huge human tragedy.
The human tragedy is so huge here. I don't think people have an idea of how tragic this is unless you actually come and see for it yourself. How much suffering everybody is going through, whether it's the people coming in on a daily basis, almost every hour someone's coming in with an explosive injury or a serious injury. People are losing their legs, their eyes, their lives. And the people, the healthcare workers that are working here 24 hours every single day with nothing, with no resources, nothing, no medications, anesthetics, everything is out. So it's just a very horrible time. I came to Gaza for the first time with Rahma and to help out in any way I can because I think the need is obviously very, very big here. And my feeling has been that the doctors and the healthcare workers here are excellent and they're doing the best job that they can despite the fact that the system is collapsing. They are doing so much with so little. There's no medications, there's no supplies, there's no instruments, there's no resources, but yet they're still saving lives and doing the best. All the cases that we've seen are all explosive related. And because of explosive, whether it's artillery or it's bombs, and so all the injuries are very severe. Many of them are life-threatening. People lose.
Palestinian resistance fighters have targeted Israeli forces with heavy shelling after they raided al-Maghazi refugee camp in central Gaza. The retaliatory attacks were launched by Qassam Brigades, which is the military wing of Hamas movement. One Israeli armored vehicle carrier was destroyed. Earlier, Al-Qassam also killed 8 Israeli forces in an ambush in Bani Sohaila, east of Khan Yunis. The group says it also destroyed 2 Merkava tanks in another operation in Al-Buraj refugee camp. Israel says that more than 170 troopers have been killed in the Gaza Strip since the regime began its ground invasion On October 27th, resistance groups say the regime is underreporting its casualties. Now, in the meantime, Israel has launched a new air raid on the West Bank city of Jenin, killing at least 6 Palestinians. Now, the attack was reportedly carried out by a drone. It came after an Israeli military vehicle was hit by an explosive device in Jenin. One Israeli soldier was killed and 3 others were injured. The Jenin Brigade Resistance Group has released footage showing the moment of the explosion. It says the number of Israeli fatalities is higher than the figure announced by the regime. Israel has a stepped up deadly crackdown against Palestinians in the occupied territory since October 7th. Since then, hundreds of Palestinians have been killed and more than 4,000 others abducted in the occupied West Bank. Mona Kendall joined us earlier with details regarding the Israeli attack on Jenin.
New airstrike has been carried out against a group of Palestinians in an area called the Martyrs' Triangle in Jenin. And this airstrike led to the killing of 6 Palestinians. 4 of them are Palestinian brothers, and the 2 more others who had been killed were also the cousins of the 4 brothers who had been killed. We are speaking about 6 Palestinian civilians. Palestinians know that there is an Israeli military raid of Jenin and its refugee camp. And we are speaking about an overcrowded area. So people left their homes in order to check what's going on. And then an Israeli airstrike carried out this Israeli, of course, airstrike was carried out against the group of Palestinians.
A group of 30 associations and parties in Kuwait have urged the government there to join the lawsuit filed by South Africa against Israel at the International Court of Justice. The group issued a statement denouncing international silence on Israeli crimes in Gaza. The signatories said that the regime's actions constitute war crimes, genocide, and crimes against humanity. South Africa's lawsuit says that the magnitude of death and destruction to Gaza Strip meets the definition of genocide in international law. Meanwhile, nearly 100 Chilean lawyers have also filed a case against the Israeli Prime Minister at the International Criminal Court. The lawsuit calls for an arrest warrant against Benjamin Netanyahu and a number of other Israeli officials for committing crimes against humanity, genocide, and war crimes in Gaza. Well, Farah Hashem, our correspondent in Kuwait City, joined us just an hour ago with details regarding the measures by the Kuwaiti civic groups and parliament in support of the Palestinians.
These 30 civic groups that also represent Kuwait University, Kuwait's People Against Normalization with Israel, Kuwait Supporting Palestine, they are not working just alone, independently. They are following the recommendations that were signed and approved by the Kuwaiti parliament last month. And since Kuwait is in mourning, nothing has been happening here because everybody is devastated by the death and also by the fact that Kuwait has entered a state of mourning since the beginning of the 7 October attacks and the genocide that has been taking place in Gaza. So I do believe that Kuwait is working on that. And in the first parliament, last month, they set set of recommendations. And these recommendations include to adopt a list to refer Netanyahu to international court for committing genocide against Palestinians, for committing crimes, for violating the rules and regulations of human rights in the United Nations, and they already adopted them and approved by the previous government currently. And as soon as this government is formed, this is going to be on the top of the agenda in Kuwait.
Now, Esha Krishnaswamy is a podcaster and journalist. We've asked her if the Israeli regime would be prosecuted for its crimes by the International Court of Justice.
There have been many requests for investigations, and the ICC has not sent a single person into the territories of Palestine to investigate any single war crime. On top of that, if we look at the 2023 budget of the ICC, To investigate Palestinian war crimes, the budget is only $944,000, while similarly to investigate alleged Russian war crimes in Ukraine, the budget is $4.3 million. So what it shows us is that the ICC is basically, again, an arm of U.S. and U.K. to kind of do their biting and investigate what they want to investigate.
Welcome back. Moving on. Tensions remain high along Lebanon's southern border, where an Israeli airbase has been targeted by Hezbollah movement. Our Beirut correspondent, Mariam Salah, tells us more about the significance of the latest attack.
They said that this is the highest peak in all of occupied Palestine, but it is also the only airbase in northern occupied Palestine, Palestine in the northern area. It is on the mountain of Jarmuk, and that mountain is considered, of course, the highest peak. And at the same time, this is an airbase. This is where they control the movements, where there is surveillance, air control. And this is the only headquarters also in the north where you have the Israeli control and monitoring and orchestration of the airstrikes and any air movement that goes towards Lebanon, Cyprus, Turkey, and Iraq, and Syria, of course. This is very significant. So that in itself seems to be another way to avenge the airstrikes that are taking place against Syria itself, since that is where they basically come out from. All of the air strikes that go against Syria, they begin in that base specifically. And now, in addition to the fact that this is a very significant headquarters, if you take a look at the statement of Hezbollah also, they said that this is a preliminary retaliation for the assassination of the Hamas leader, Sheikh Saleh al-Aruri. They did not mention the strike against the southern suburbs of Beirut. They did not mention that this is a retaliation for the Israeli violation of Lebanese sovereignty. And so that perhaps is in itself going to be left for another time.
Now, Yemen has pledged to continue to block the passage of all Israeli-owned and bound ships through the Red Sea in response to the regime's genocide in the Gaza Strip.
These developments and the painful developments that are taking place in Palestine led us to take such measures. The Quran has authorized us to defend the oppressed. Every kind of ship linked to the Zionist regime or partially or entirely owned by the regime will not pass through the Red Sea, no matter what the costs, and we will stick with this decision at any cost.
Now, the head of Yemen's Supreme Political Council says that the country will not stop its operations until Israel ends its onslaught and siege of the Gaza Strip. Mahdi al-Mashat says this is meant for peace. He said that Yemenis are committed to protecting their brothers in Gaza and are ready for all eventualities. The official warned that all the options are available to the Yemeni army. The comments were made after U.S. warned Yemen of consequences if it did not stop the attacks. The Yemeni armed forces have launched missile and drone attacks on vessels operated by Israel or heading for its ports in solidarity with Gazans. Now, protests against Israeli genocidal war in Gaza are growing bolder in the United States. The busiest street in the nation's third largest city was shut down for hours right outside the residence of top Democratic Party Senator. Rami Mazzari has more.
Illinois Senator Dick Durbin has been called the oldest friend in Congress of AIPAC, the influential pro-Zionist lobbying committee. Protesters gathered outside his home to demand that the second highest ranking Democratic senator stop supporting Israel's latest war on Gaza. But then activists grew tired of being ignored. Protesters crossed from Senator Durbin's high-class residence onto historic Lakeshore Drive along Lake Michigan. Traffic is shut down in both directions on the most important road in the city in a rare and powerful example of local political activism. Protesters told angry motorists that the person they should be blaming was Senator Durbin.
Senator Dick Durbin actually represents the biggest Palestinian constituent population in the United States. He has to be here. has a duty to be on the front lines of calling for a ceasefire in Gaza.
When police refused to release one of two activists arrested, protesters refused to move for hours.
This is not a religious issue. It's not a political issue. It's a humanitarian crisis. It's an issue that is affecting everybody in the world, or most people, and everybody wants a resolution. So we hope for a peaceful resolution. That's why we're out here.
The Arab population in the United States is about half of the Jewish population, but Arab influence in American politics and culture is relatively non-existent. For over two decades, open discrimination has been constant, as are hypocritical double standards.
I was in Palestine on October 7th. So I've lived my whole life in America. I lived in Palestine for 4 years, but we came here and I grew up here. I was raised here. But I feel like my identity as an American is shattered anytime something happens. And I see that that my American colleagues and classmates and friends all of a sudden turn a blind eye when it comes to Palestinian life. And it's very disappointing. And it's especially when you come back and you see that your own tax dollars are being put towards this genocide.
Since October 7th, public opinion has shifted massively against Israel, especially among young voters. That may embolden activists to try even more attention-demanding protests against Israel's atrocities and murder in Palestine. Ramin Mazahiri, Chicago.
Now, people in Bangladesh have gone to the polls in an election boycotted by the opposition. With the opposition party refusing to take part, the ballot is guaranteed to give a fifth term in office to incumbent Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina. Her party is facing almost no effective rivals in the seats it's contesting, but it has avoided fielding candidates in a few constituencies in an apparent effort to avoid the legislature being branded a one-party institution. The Bangladesh Nationalist Party, whose ranks have been decimated by mass arrests, has called a general strike and urged the public not to participate in what it calls a sham election. The Prime Minister's government has been accused of rampant human rights abuses and a ruthless opposition crackdown. And that's it for this newscast from Tehran.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
About yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
writing. Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 7th, 2024. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is a program which is broadcast on Sunday, and this is a program where your views are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcasts. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome to this edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 7th. And, of course, as usual, we've received reception reports from around the world, from Volkan Atasevir from Turkey, from Anand Mohan from India, and from Jari Korhonen from Finland. So, here I do send my appreciations to Volkan, Anand, and Jari for sending these reception reports to us. And as you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us at IRIB English Radio because these reception reports actually enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. So all of you who have sent in reception reports will be receiving electronic QSL card from us. So let's see who has sent us email from around the world. Here we've received an email from Reginaldo Anunciaso from Brazil, one of our old and regular listeners. Volkan Atasevir from Turkey has sent us a piece of email. From the United States, we've received an email from Bill McDavid. And from India, we have an email from Jayanta Chakravarti, our old and regular listeners. Please stay with us. After a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. So, Reginaldo Anunciaso, one of our old and regular listeners from Brazil, has sent us a piece of email, so let's see what he says. A happy new year 2024, and thank you for your sweet messages. I should say that I'm so happy these days, as I'm going to spend the holiday with my family and friends. Here in Brazil, Christmas is a little different because we are in the southern hemisphere and it's actually summer in Brazil. Thank you again, and Happy New Year to all the listeners. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Iran, and many thanks for writing to us, Reginaldo Anunciaso from Brazil. Happy New Year 2024 to you, and of course, all our listeners around the world. We hope that 2024 be filled with joy, peace, and good tidings to you. On the New Year 2024, we wish that peace prevails all over the world. And Reginaldo, as you said, as Brazil is located in southern hemisphere, there is a difference in the seasons. And so you are experiencing summer and very hot days in your country, Reginaldo, in Brazil, just like Australia, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, and other countries which are located in southern hemisphere. And it's interesting. We wish you all the best, and please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email, Reginaldo. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. And from Turkey, we've received an email from Volkan Atasevir. Volkan says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, I am a computer engineer, writer, poet, and collector. I'm also an amateur radio operator and shortwave listener. These are some of my hobbies. Radio communication and shortwave radio also contribute to my professional knowledge. I want QSL card from your radio station." First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Volkan Atasevir from Turkey, and many thanks for writing to us. Thank you for letting us know what you think about how we broadcast the signals of IRIB English Radio. As you said, you're interested in shortwave, which is mostly welcomed by our listeners. So you are a computer engineer, writer, poet, and collector, and that's good. Thank you for sharing your personal information with us and our great listeners around the world. Please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. We wish you luck, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Volkan Atasevir from Turkey. So after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, our old and regular listener, has sent us a detailed piece of email. So let's see what Jayanta says. Dear staff, greetings. First of all, I would like to wish you and all the wonderful members at IRIB English Radio and their families my heartiest season's greetings for the New Year festivities. May 2024 be full of hope, peace, aspirations, good health, and happiness for all those celebrating. I'm happy to report on your shortwave broadcast. Reception quality on the 31-meter band was good with strong signal strength. Here are some details of the programs I listened to and my comments. The news gave extensive coverage of Israeli forces, atrocities, and untold human miseries of the innocent Palestinian people, mostly children and women, in refugee camps in Rafah and other towns. Though lots of Israeli soldiers were reported, but in contrast, some 16,000 Palestinians have been mercilessly murdered till date. This unprecedented genocide has been condemned by right-thinking, freedom-seeking people of the world. The Iranian president has praised the UN Secretary General's initiative to invoke Article 99, which deals with peace and security. This humanitarian tragedy, where a rampant hunger and lack of medical services are increasing the suffering of the people in the Gaza Strip. I pray and hope that hostilities are immediately stopped and peace ensured before a greater human catastrophe occurs. Back to Reality is also an attractive program. An interesting interview was conducted with two students of Indian and Pakistani origin. The hot topic of collectiveness versus individualism in family values gave an important lesson to listeners. Individual tendencies in the United States is a psychological problem which leads to a decadent society with broken homes, suicide, and taking of drugs. Whereas collectiveness, as professed in Iran and other Eastern cultures, seeks advice of elders in matters of good living, this is the secret of a happy, healthy, and contented family where youngsters grow up to be responsible citizens of society. I am submitting the report for your kind verification. I would be pleased to receive a printed QSL card if my report is found to be in order. I would also be happy to receive some promotional material and Iranian postage stamps if available. Wishing IRIB English Service team good health and happiness in the upcoming. First of all, salam and warmest greetings to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran, to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty in India. And many thanks for writing such a detailed email. And as we always say, we welcome your views about our programs. We'd like to know which program or programs you like the best. So Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, many thanks for telling us your views about our programs. As you said, actually, you gave us the information about the piece of news you heard about what is happening in the Gaza Strip and actually the developments in Palestine. And you mentioned the program Back to Reality, which you described it as an attractive program. And that's good to hear that. So Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. We also hope that you have a very good 2024 year. But I have to mention that we Iranians, because Iran is a majority Muslim country, we don't celebrate our new year in Christian way. I mean, we celebrate our new year on Nowruz, which is the beginning of spring. So 2024 is not celebrated in Iran, but we have a Christian minority in Iran, which celebrate 2024. But anyway, thank you for your greetings and your congratulation message. But we hope that our listeners, our Christian listeners and our international listeners around the world, a 2024 full of joy, peace, aspirations, good health and happiness. Anyway, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, please accept our electronic QSL as verification to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. After a short break, I will be back with you. So here we have an email from Bill McDavitt, our old and regular listener from the United States. Bill says, "Dear staff, unfortunately, we are not able to receive any of your English language broadcasts. Your signals are simply not being observed here in the United States. Your transmission engineers are not beaming your signals to North America. So obviously, you are not targeting North America, and as a result, it is unlikely we would be able to receive your broadcast. I do wish you would target North America as well so we could hear your programs. Many still enjoy shortwave radio rather than internet or satellite. I hope this helps and please feel free to contact me." Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, the Islamic Republic of Iran. Bill McDavitt from the United States. Appreciations to you for this email. And as the shortwave broadcast of IRIB English Radio is disconnected in the regions like North America, the United States, so you can refer to our website and via internet or satellite, you can listen to IRIB English Radio broadcast. Anyway, please accept our electronic QSL as verification to this email. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our broadcast. Bill McDavitt from the United States, many thanks for writing to us. We wish you all the best. And time tells us that we have to wrap up this edition of Listeners Special. We had a good time being together. Many thanks for being with us. But before saying goodbye to you, I do send my warmest appreciations and gratitudes to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports, as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Volkan Atasevir from Turkey, Anand Mohan from India, Jari Korhonen from Finland, Reginaldo Anunciaso from Brazil, also Bill McDavitt from the United States, and Jayanta Chakrabarty from India. Please keep in touch with us at IRIB English Radio and Listeners Special Program. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is A to Z. An introduction to Islamic lifestyle. today's lesson, love and care towards Muslims and believers. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A Muslim should feel safe from the hands and tongues of another Muslim. This is what Islam teaches us. A Muslim should receive peace and mercy from his fellow Muslim. The fourth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, has said, "The right of your core religionist is to intend for him peace and mercy, and to like for him what you like for yourself, and to dislike for him what you dislike for yourself." Islam's criteria of love is very clear, brothers and sisters. Islam expects Muslims to love each other such that they like for others what they like for themselves, and they dislike for others what they dislike for themselves. This is, you know, very extreme example of best ethics that you can find in the world. You know, the world teaches you, the materialistic system teaches you to be selfish. Just look out for your own interest. But Islam here is tying down our hands. Islam is saying that whatever you like for yourself, you're free to like. You're free to pursue it. But you have to like that same person for your mu'min brother. This is the height of ethics, right? If you think about it, you know, it goes very far. And with these moral standards, just imagine how the world can be a beautiful place to live. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, the fifth divinely appointed Imam, has said, "Love your Muslim brother. Like for him what you like for yourself, and dislike for him what you dislike for yourself." You look at the seerah of the and the lifestyle of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam themselves. See for yourself how they cared for other Muslims. This is the prime example of walking and talking the divine path. Welcome back, dear listeners. Today we are discussing love and care towards Muslims and believers. Brothers and sisters, being good towards other Muslims is not simply a responsibility on our neck with respect to that Muslim brother or sister. It goes beyond that. You know, sometimes we feel that it's just, you know, something Allah has made wajib on us. You know, we just have to carry it out because, you know, this person has a right on my neck. My, for instance, parents have a right on my neck, or my wife or my kids or my brothers and sisters, you know, they have rights on my necks. My co-workers have rights on my neck. So I just have to fulfill that, you know, whatever, right? Well, this is not where it stops, is what we're trying to say. It goes beyond that. It is a duty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not just this human being's right on our neck. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's right is embedded within this right. Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam, the sixth divinely appointed Imam, says, "I advise you to be careful of your duty to Allah and to do good to your Muslim brother, and to like for him what you like for yourself, and to dislike for him what you dislike for yourself." We have to be very careful when we're dealing with the believers. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "Anyone who meets believers with two faces and two tongues, he will have two flames on the Day of Judgment." Imam Qasim alayhi salam, the seventh divinely appointed Imam, said, "Bad people are the two-faced and the double-tongued. They who praise their brethren in their presence and backbite them in their absence. They who envy their brethren for their favors and abase them in their affliction."
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
In Britain, almost 8,000 people were harmed and 112 died last year as a direct result of enduring long waits for an ambulance to arrive or for surgery, prompting warnings that Britain's National Health Service care delays are a disaster. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. British newspaper The Independent has covered this story and tells us more. According to a major new study, thousands of Britons could be dying unnecessarily as the United Kingdom lags behind other major countries on patient safety. According to research from the Institute of Global Health Innovation at Imperial College, University of London, the United Kingdom was ranked 21 out of 38 countries on four key patient safety indicators, with countries such as Australia, New Zealand and Norway rated among the highest. The report found that if the United Kingdom improved enough to rank among the top 10 countries, there would be 15,733 fewer people dying from what is described as treatable mortality, deaths which could be avoided through timely healthcare interventions. There would also be 776 fewer deaths from neonatal disorders and 870 fewer deaths from avoidable medical errors. According to the authors of the report, it is the first major international study of safety data that looked at 89 separate safety measures, such as waiting times, stillbirth rates, cases of sepsis, and the frequency of surgical items being left inside the patients after a surgical operation. Former Health Minister Lord Aradazi, co-director of the Institute and a renowned surgeon, said the report, which has been backed by the World Health Organization, the WHO, was a wake-up call for Britain and other nations to improve their safety for patients. Health Minister Lord Aradazi said, "You can't improve things if you don't measure them, and this is our attempt to engage clinicians in all countries, not just in the United Kingdom, to have better measurements and drive performance improvements." Researchers looked at different safety measures across four key areas: maternal mortality, treatable mortality, adverse effects of medical treatment, and neonatal disorders. Researchers calculated the number of deaths per 100,000 people for a range of patients, including those who died from medical errors and treatable cases such as heart disease, women who died during childbirth, and neonatal deaths from conditions such as sepsis or oxygen deprivation. James Titcombe, the chief executive of research unit at Patient Safety Watch, told the Independent newspaper, "Analysis of the data shows that thousands of lives could be saved if the National Health Service was as safe as the top-performing countries. That the National Health Service ranks only 21 out of 38 countries for patient safety is very concerning." James Titcombe added, "I hope this work and the publicly available dashboard can act as a catalyst in supporting further efforts to accelerate the rate of patient safety progress, both in the United Kingdom and internationally." British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story and tells us more. Almost 8,000 people were harmed and 112 died last year as a direct result of enduring long waits for an ambulance to arrive or for medical surgery, prompting warnings that the National Health Service care delays are a disaster. The fatalities included a man who died of a cardiac arrest after waiting 18 minutes for his 999 call to be answered by the ambulance service and was dead by the time the ambulance crew arrived at the hospital. The figures are the first time NHS England has disclosed how often doctors and nurses file a patient safety report after someone suffers harm after waiting for help. They show that patient deaths arising directly from care delays have risen more than fivefold over the last 3 years, from 21 in 2019 to 112 cases last year, as the National Health Service has come under huge strain. The number of people who came to severe harm has also jumped from 96 to 152 during that same period. The overall number of people suffering some degree of harm in such circumstances has leapt from 3,979 cases in 2019 to 7,856 cases in 2022, representing a rise of 97%. Rachel Power, the chief executive of Patients Association, said, "These data are alarming and show quite clearly the human impact of the crisis in the National Health Service is having on individual patients. We have been watching the disaster unfolding across the National Health Service and have repeatedly warned about the threat to patient safety because of it. Trusts are reducing the amount of planned surgery they perform after the government's refusal to provide a £1 billion bailout to help cover the cost of staff strikes within the NHS. Rachel Power said this would translate into even more patients waiting for care and potentially coming to harm. A total of 471 patients waiting for adult mental health care suffered harm as a result of delays last year, more than in any other specialism. Though this may be down to higher patient numbers. The next highest numbers were in the care involving childbirth, with 253 cases, eye problems, 221 cases, and trauma and general surgery, 207 cases. NHS England gave The Guardian anonymous details of 30 of last year's deaths. One entry explained, "Long delay in call answer on critical call, original call into an unnamed ambulance service 18 minutes prior to first related call answered. Call coded as cardiac arrest, once answered and patient deceased on scene." The English website of Qatar's Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story. Thousands of junior doctors in Wales will go on a 3-day strike in January due to an unresolved pay dispute with the government amid crippling staffing shortages and worsening patient care. In August, the Welsh Junior Doctors Committee decided to ballot its members after being offered a below-inflation pay offer of 5%. Of the doctors eligible to vote in Wales, 65% responded, and 98% of those supported a strike. The 72-hour full walkout, which will take place on 15th of January, could see more than 3,000 doctors withdraw their labour from hospitals and GP surgeries across Wales. The Welsh Government called the decision disappointing and said it could not meet pay demands without more British Government money. In a joint statement, Dr. Oba Babs Osibodu and Dr. Peter Fahey, co-chairs of the British Medical Association, Wales Junior Doctors Committee, said the ballot results showed the strength of feeling. They said, "We're frustrated in despair and angry. We can't and won't take any further erosion of our pay." They added, "Our members have been forced to take this difficult decision because junior doctors in Wales have experienced a pay cut of 29.6% in real terms over the last 15 years. They said the decision to strike had not been made lightly and that members were not looking for a pay rise but asking for pay to be restored in line with inflation. They added, "Pay needs to be fair and competitive with other healthcare systems across the world to retain and recruit doctors and NHS staff to provide much-needed care. On top of this, junior doctors are experiencing worsening conditions and so doctors are now looking to leave Wales to develop their careers for better pay and a better quality of life elsewhere. Junior doctors in other parts of England are scheduled to go on strike in the coming days, following unsuccessful negotiations that lasted for 5 weeks. Strikes by nurses, ambulance workers and junior doctors, which began with the first walkout in December of last year, have led to the cancellation of more than 900,000 operations and procedures by NHS England. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM, 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you. This is the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to EnglishRadio at irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and a very relevant Hadith, which has been transmitted to us from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. This Hadith is about the virtue of living in a very, you know, spacious and in a large house. Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam said, "A misfortunate way of life entails living in a cramped house." It's interesting that this same theme has been echoed in another hadith of the Holy Prophet, where he said, "Part of a Muslim's prosperity, min sa'adatil mar, min sa'adatil mar il Muslim." Al-maskanul wasi', part of a Muslim's prosperity is living in a spacious housing. Right, this is kind of relevant today because, you know, there's a trend in the West and in a lot of places in the world of, you know, living in small and cramped houses, minimalistic lifestyle, as they call it. Sometimes people don't even bother, you know, living in a house. You know, they'll rent a camper or an RV and, you know, live in there. And this is something, you know, kind of trendy, and a lot of people find it attractive. It's kind of appealing. And, you know, a lot of times it's just because, you know, people can't afford housing. You know, houses have become expensive. But a lot of times, you know, people just find this kind of, you know, exotic and, you know, appealing. But this is something that, according to Islam, it's not, you know, it's not something that if we have a choice, we should choose. At the same time, we should also add that one should avoid, you know, building and constructing a house bigger than one needs. Imam Ali alayhi